Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Today's day is a great day for remembering. If you came in this room this morning and you were like, oh my Lord, it's Mother's Day, you have been reminded that today is a good day to remember things like flowers. Today is a good day for you to remember things like cards. I believe there are some in the bathroom for you available if you have forgotten, sirs. Today is a good day for remembering, and we want to help you in your remembering. Today is a good day to remember to call your mother if she lives somewhere else. Mother's Day is a good day for remembering. Have you been reminded of what today is? Are you clear on what your next step is if you have not already done any of these things? It's a good day to remember, but memories are funny things, aren't they? The way that our memory works, the way that it grabs on to certain things and holds on, like I bet you could tell me the telephone number of the home you grew up in, if you're young enough to have grown up with a landline, if I asked you for it right now. I hear numbers all across the room. But there are other things that, try as you might, you cannot quite seem to remember. The way our memories work is wild. I could tell you in great detail what I wore to my seventh grade dance and what all happened and who was there and how everything went. But on a regular basis, I have to go check the YouTube thumbnails from last weekend's message to remember what I wore last weekend and make sure I don't wear it again this weekend. Regularly on a Saturday night, there I am in my closet in YouTube going, Cornerstone Church. No, not that one, not that one. Toledo, Cornerstone Toledo. Okay, what was I wearing? Because even though I can remember what I wore more than 20 years ago to a dance, I can't remember what I wore 6 days ago. Why is our memory that way? Memories are funny things. Now, sometimes it's helpful for our memories to not hold on to some things. They say that our hormones help us out in such a way that women who give birth actually forget the true intensity to which labor and delivery really happens. That there's part of you that goes, yeah, that was really intense. But your body helps you forget it a little bit, so that you might be inclined to try it again sometime. And it seems to be working because there are children around everywhere. Families like the Tools, who have had 4 of them, bless your hearts. No wonder Kirsten needs prayers. She was one of the moms in the video. Because your memory can help you remember some things. As kids get older, you don't remember quite as much all of the sleepless nights and all of the whining. You don't remember quite as much how hard it is to clean dried, smeared yogurt off of a counter, as much as you remember their giggles and you remember their snuggles and you remember the way that they started to discover new things. As your kids become adults, you don't remember quite so many of the teenage years of arguments and pushed and missed curfews as you do remembering seeing them get that first job, as you do seeing them start to discover the person that they're going to be. Our memories are funny in that in the way that we move through them, certain things we start to hold on to in a stronger way, and other things just start to fade. And to some extent, The things that we remember and the things that we hold on to have to do with the things that we begin to focus on, the things that we repeat to ourselves, the things that we magnify in our memory begin to be those things that as we look back, we recall them more easily and more quickly. Paul is writing to Timothy. In this letter, this is his second letter to Timothy. And in this second letter to Timothy that Paul writes, it's different in many ways from his first. See, Timothy was a young protege of Paul. Timothy was a young man who had a passion for scripture and a passion for the things of God. And so he began traveling with Paul and the other disciples and the other early church leaders. And after some time of traveling with Paul, word got to them that there was a lot of issues happening in a church in a city called Ephesus. And so Paul sends Timothy to set everything straight. And Timothy becomes the leader of the church in Ephesus. And so the first letter that Paul writes to Timothy has lots of instruction for the church, lots of information about what he should do to get everyone in order, lots of addressing the issues that Timothy is facing. But this second letter that Paul writes to Timothy, it's likely one of the last letters that Paul writes in any of his pastoral epistles. This letter that Paul writes to Timothy is towards the end of Paul's years when they have known each other and grown together and been working together for years. The tone of this letter is much more personal. It is to Timothy. It's the heart of someone wanting to make sure that some final thoughts get to someone they have dearly loved. This letter is not quite as much about sorting out all of the issues as it is letting Timothy know the things that Paul wants him to remember. And Paul starts off with some remembering of his own. If we roll back a couple verses from where we started to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 3, Paul writes these words to Timothy. It says, "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, and when I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night." Paul tells Timothy that there is something about our remembering that is linked to our gratitude. He says, "I thank God when I remember you." Can I tell you that you can remember things in a way that cause your heart to be filled with gratitude, that cause thanksgiving to come up on the inside of you, that I can look back and say, look what God did in this situation. I remember how he was there for me and I'm thankful for it. I remember how God showed up in this moment and I'm thankful for it. I remember the way that you healed me, God, and I'm thankful for it. I remember when I thought we were on the edge of divorce, but you saved me from it, God, and I'm thankful for it, God. I remember when I didn't know if my child was gonna make it, and you showed up in that situation, and I'm thankful for it, God. I remember when it looked like I didn't know if I could pay my school fees, God, but you showed up and you paid them on my behalf, God, and I'm thankful for it. There's a way of remembering that causes thankfulness and gratitude to come up on the inside of us. And as Paul is writing to Timothy, he wants to demonstrate for him that there is a remembrance that evokes gratitude. The next thing that he tells him he remembers is he says, "I remember your tears, Timothy." Look at verse 1 and 4. In verse 1 and 4, he says, "And I, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." And I think part of what Paul is saying is, yes, that he remembers the emotion and the connection of their being together. But what the tears symbolize is the depth of the connection of their relationship. That the last time they were together, as they were departing, their departing from each other was so painful that there were tears that were shared between them. And Paul is telling him, when you remember, remember with thanksgiving and remember the relationships that God has placed in your life. Remember the connection that there are people that God has connected us to and people that God has brought us up next to and people that God has walked you alongside. Remember, Timothy, that there are great connections that are coming through life with you. And then he tells him, I remember your sincere faith. This is where we started in verse 1 and 5. He says, I am reminded and I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is also in you. He goes, I am reminded of what is on the inside of you, Timothy. I am reminded that there is a faith in you, that there is a faith in your life. And he says, Timothy, I want you to remember that you carry something on the inside of you. I want you to remember that this faith that you have on the inside of you, that something has been deposited in you. He tells him that you carry a faith that was deposited in you from your grandmother and your mother, and you carry a calling that was imprinted into you by the laying on of hands of the leaders. There is something that you are carrying on the inside of you that has been deposited in you, that has been planted in you. And he wants him to remember what I want you to remember today, that you're not walking around empty, but that there is something on the inside of you. There is something that you are carrying. How often and how easy do we forget the thing that we are carrying? How often and how easy do we forget that something has been deposited on the inside of us? That I walk around pregnant with something, that I walk around seated with something, with a faith that has been put in me, with a faith that has been planted in me, with a faith that was sown into me. And he reminds him, there is something meaningful on the inside of you, Timothy. There is a faith that you carry. There is a faith that you hold, and it has depth to it, and it has history to it, and it has purpose to it, and it has meaning to it, and it has something that God has just for you on the inside of you. And there is a faith that is in you. Do you remember the faith that is in you? And then he reminds him that faith did not get there all by itself. That faith that is in you came from somewhere. Each and every one of us owe the faith that we carry, owe the thing that God has placed on the inside of us to someone who has gone before us. He tells him, Timothy, you have something that you carry. I want you to remember that you have something that you carry on the inside of you, but don't ever forget that it came from somewhere. It came from the faith that started in your grandmother. It came from the faith that was in your mother. It came from the laying on of hands of leaders that went before you. The faith that is in you is owed to you because there are generations, there are people who went before you. Someone who dared to believe before you believed. Someone who dared to stand in the gap when you weren't sure. Someone who took the time to sit down and read scripture scriptures with you and pray prayers over you. Someone who built a space that you would walk into and experience the power and the presence of God for the first time. Someone who knelt with you when you didn't know how to pray words for yourself. Someone who walked with you when you didn't think you could carry yourself. Someone who came to you when you thought you couldn't get yourself out of bed any longer. Someone who said, hold your head up. This isn't the end of the road. I've walked it a little bit longer than you've walked it before. There's a faith in you, Timothy, but it's important that you know that the faith that is in you did not start with you. That the faith that you walk in didn't just pop out of nowhere. That there's something that's on the inside of you that has been carried from generation to generation. It got in you because someone else tended to their own faith and took the time to multiply their own faith and take a piece of what they had and place it on the inside of you with hope and with expectation that it would grow into a mature faith. I don't care if you're 10 or 100, the faith that is in you got in you because someone else dared to take their faith and deposit it on the inside of you. Don't ever forget the history that you walk in. The depth of the faith that you carry. And I think there's some mothers this morning. Some mothers in those active mothering years. Some young mothers who need to be reminded that what you're doing right now matters. That you are implanting a faith in your children that will grow in them. That when you're doing all of the doing that has to get done, you're also praying over them. You're also modeling for them. You're also demonstrating for them what it's like to stand in faith and to be a person of faith and to be a leader of faith and to cry through it sometimes and to worship through it sometimes and to rejoice with God in the high moments and to cry out to Him. They need to see the faith that was deposited in Timothy was a sincere faith. That means it was a faith without falsehood. It was a faith without bolstering. It was a faith without pretending. It wasn't a Sunday morning faith. And it wasn't a when people come over faith. It was an all the time, all the way through faith. Timothy got something deposited in him that told him, I can walk in this faith for all the days of my life. I can stand on this faith all the days of my life. That something was put in him from his mother Eunice that allowed him to say, I saw this faith work and I know that I can continue to walk in it. And I think that there are some mothers of older children and some grandmothers this morning who need to be reminded that what you deposited mattered. That you poured in for years and that you prayed over for years and that you placed a good, true, sincere, godly faith, that you read scripture and you prayed prayers and you brought to services and you brought in worship rooms and you cried out and you fasted before them, and there is a seed that has been deposited, and some of you are seeing its fruitfulness and some of you are wondering, did all of those years even matter? Let me tell you that the seed that you planted mattered. The seed that is there is just waiting, some plant and some water, but God brings the increase. That it matters what you planted into someone. And Paul talks to Timothy and he says, I remember this and I remember that and I remember the faith that was in your mother and your grandmother. And then he says, and now I want to remind you of what's on the inside of you. And I want to encourage you to fan the flame that is in you. He's telling Timothy, remember that there's a faith that's on the inside of you. And remember that it came from somewhere before it got to you. But know this, Timothy, now your faith that is on the inside of you is your responsibility. It's no longer your mother's faith anymore. And it's no longer your grandmother's faith anymore. And it's no longer the elders who laid hands on you's faith anymore. Timothy, something has been placed on the inside of you. And what you do with the faith that is on the inside of you, Timothy, is your responsibility. No one is coming to fan that flame for you. No one is coming to stir your faith for you. No one is coming to build you a solid rock foundation from this point forward. You have become fully grown, Timothy, and there is something that is on the inside of you. When you become grown, some of us are still holding on to our mother's faith. And some of us are still holding on to our grandmother's faith. But there's a faith that has been deposited on the inside of you. You can't call mom every time you need a prayer for something. Yes, she'll believe with you. And yes, we carry each other's burdens. But where is the faith that was placed on the inside of you? Where is the faith that has now become yours? Where is the faith that you're gonna own? Where is the faith that says, this is my faith? This is no longer the faith of the elders. And this is no longer the faith of my mother. And this is no longer the faith of my grandmother. This is my faith, my sincere faith that was placed in me and that was deposited in me. And Paul says, Timothy, don't let the flame of the thing that was deposited in you. They took care to plant it right. They took care to carry it from generation to generation. They took care to make sure that it was placed on the inside of you. They took care to make sure you were brought up in the things of God. They took care to make sure that you were taught the scriptures. They took care to make sure that you knew your way to a church building. They took care to make sure that prayers were prayed over you. They took care to make sure that you knew how to lift your hands and how to sing the songs. They took care to make sure that you knew songs of ascent and you knew where to find some lamentations. But all of that is not theirs anymore, Timothy. It's yours now. And it's time for you, Timothy, to fan the flame of the faith that's on the inside of you. If your faith feels like it's fanning out, that's on you. If your faith feels like it's growing weary and empty, that's on you. If your faith feels like it's not strong enough to get you through another day, that's on you. You're grown. It's time to fan the faith and the flame of God that was deposited on the inside of you. You have to hear. Paul knows he's at the end of his days. Later in this same book, in this same letter, he tells Timothy, I'm like one already being poured out. I know I'm at the end. I know my days are coming near. It's a letter to someone he cares deeply about where he's going, I need you. I want to make sure you get these things before I go, Timothy. That you have to, I'm not going to be here for you all the time. Your mother Eunice isn't going to be here for you all the time. Your grandmother Lois isn't going to be here for you, Timothy. I need to know before I go that you know how to fan the flame that is on the inside of you. And the way that he instructs him to do it is by remembering. Throughout the book, he draws his attention to many things and to bring them into remembrance. He tells him to remember the power of God. Remember the power of who God is. That there is a power in God. He says, when you remember, if you're going to fan this flame, the way you're going to fan the flame of the faith that's on the inside of you is through remembrance. And one of the things I want you to remember is that this is a God of power. That you're going to face fears in your life, but there is a power that comes from God. That you're going to face uncertainties in life, but there is a power that comes from God. That you've been placed in a position that you weren't sure you were ready for, Timothy, but there is a power that comes from God. I want you to remember the power of God. And then he tells him to remember sound teaching. Says, Timothy, I need you to stand on scripture. I need you to stand on the steady, everlasting word of God. He tells him, Timothy, there's all kinds of people who are going to be trying to teach all kinds of crazy things. There are going to be people who are teaching things that they want to sound smart, and so they say things that are contrary to what we've been taught along the years. We always think like weird theology developed with TikTok. Right? Like we're like, oh, we really have it bad because there's so many weird people out there teaching things that aren't Bible. All the way back when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, do not be distracted by people who are making strange teachings and strange claims. And don't get caught up in all of the strange teachings and strange things. If you're going to fan the flame that's on the inside of you, you need to know your scripture. You need to stand on your scripture. You need to build life on your scripture, not on pop psychology, not on pop culture, not on what your best friend told you, not on everybody that agrees with you, not on everything that sounds good or looks good or what keeps popping up in your thread and in your feed. You need to stand on scripture. Says if you want to make sure that flame keeps burning, stand on scripture. Remember the sound teaching. Then he tells him, if you're going to fan that flame of yours, I want you to remember suffering, to remember hardship, to remember trial. I need you to know that when you remember the ways that those who have gone before you have endured in trial and have endured in hardship, have carried on in tough seasons and have carried on in difficult times, have carried on when it looked like there wasn't a way that there could be made out of it, yet they made a way out because they held on to the things of God. Difficulty is part of the equation. Hardship is part of the equation. Suffering is sometimes part of the equation and the pathway to formation. I am afraid that we have become so accustomed to comfort that when suffering comes our way, it squelches our flame because we think this can't be the path of God any longer. This can't be the way of God any longer. And we become, woe is me, and God has forgotten me, and God has left me, and God didn't remember me while I was trying to remember him. And we become a victim of every situation that we've walked through because somewhere along the way we ate the lie of the fruit that the path of the righteous is wide and comfortable, but the path of the righteous is narrow and is hard. It's a narrow path, and there's a reason that many don't want to walk along it, because it gets difficult and there are trials along the way. If we remember to stand on sound doctrine and are students of our word, then we will remember that those who were most faithful to Jesus had the most difficult paths in front of them. I need you to remember, if you're going to fan the flame into something that holds and lasts and becomes your own, that suffering is going to be part of the trials. It's going to be part of what makes you and part of what forms you. And Paul's writing to Timothy telling him, I need you to make sure you don't miss this when I'm not here for you anymore. That suffering will be part. I need you to remember it. Then he tells him, remember how you live. Remember how you walk. Remember how you talk. Remember what you desire. Remember what you give attention to. Remember what you give time to. Remember how you live. Timothy, he tells him, there is only so much time that you have. I need you to remember the way that you treat the days. And I need you to remember the way that you are when you move into different situations. And I need you to remember that you represent more than just yourself. You represent the kingdom of God everywhere that you go. I need you to remember that you have something in you that has been fought for and died for generation on generation, that you're carrying something that it's worth living to a higher standard for. Timothy, I need you to remember how you live. And then he tells him right about in the middle of the book, he says, I need you to remember the gospel. I need you to remember Jesus, who came, who lived, who died, and who was raised again. He tells him, you heard this gospel from me, and I want you to remember it. Not just sometimes, not as something that I move on from, as something somebody told me decades ago, but to remember it often, to remember regularly that there is a Savior who came for me, that there is a Savior who died for me, that there is a Savior who rose for me, and there is a Savior who I can live with eternally. He says there is this flame on the inside of you, Timothy, and the thing about the flame of faith on the inside of you is that if you forget to fan it, it will eventually go out. The things of life and the waves of worries in your life will come and will overcome your flame, so you have to make sure that you continually fan your flame with remembrance. And when you're remembering all of the things that can fan your flame, remember to remember the gospel. Remember to remember this Jesus that came. Remember to remember that it was for you that he came. Remember, Timothy, when you get up and you're instructing the church, that it was for Timothy that he came as well. Remember when you're going to sit at your tables, that it was for you that he came as well. Remember when you hear it talked about, that it wasn't just a story that somebody told you in kids' church one time, but that he came for you, that he came for me, that I would remember the message of the gospel, that I was far from Christ, that I made decisions that put me out of right relationship with him, that I, through all of my striving and all of my trying and all of my achieving and all of my muscling, could never put the pieces back in the right place or climb myself up high enough to reach him. And because I could never get to him, he came down for me, not just for everybody, not just for them back then, not just for Eunice and not just for Lois, but he came for me, and he lived a perfect example of a life, and he faced suffering and he faced trial that he never deserved, and they hung him on a cross and they mocked him, and he was dead and he was buried, where he wrestled hell and the grave and it couldn't hold him. For me, he got back up again. For me, he rose back up again. Remember to yourself how good it is, this message of the gospel. Fan that flame of faith that was placed in you. Fan that flame of faith that was deposited in you by the leaders and the elders and your mothers and your grandmothers. There's a faith in you that needs to be fanned and flamed, because there is a gospel that you are carrying. Remember what you carry. Remember where it came from. Remember how it got there. And remember that it's yours to fan that flame now. Remember the good news of Jesus. Paul goes, I need you to get this before I go. And of all the things that you may remember today, and of all the things that you will forget about today, you'll probably forget what color the flowers are that you purchase or receive. And you'll probably forget exactly what the lunch is that you sit at or what restaurant you go to. You'll forget the details of the conversation, of everything that happens today, most likely along the way. But you will remember if today is your day to say, I need to make this relationship with Jesus mine. That today is my day that I'm saying yes to Jesus. It'll be a day that decades and years from now you still remember. The day that you said, today I'm saying yes to Him. If today is your day and you're going, I'm saying yes to Jesus, right where you are, just raise your hand straight in the air. I see you, love. I see you, sir. Come on, hands are going up. I see you guys. I see you all raising hands saying, today is my day that I'm saying yes. Leave them up in the air. Come on, as a sign to those around you. I see you guys in the balcony. I see hands all over there. Come on, today is a day to say, this thing, I am making it my own. I'm taking ownership for the fact that I'm saying yes to Jesus. Come on. I'm going to ask everyone who can to stand with me as we pray this prayer alongside these people who will remember today for all their days. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I love to do it all together because when you come home to Jesus, you also come home to the family of God. We say, God, I come to you today. In Jesus' name. And I know that I need you. Jesus, I believe in you. In your life. In your death. In your burial. And in your resurrection. And starting today, I'm letting go of a life led by me. And I'm taking hold of a life led by you. Holy Spirit, help me do it for all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Church, let's celebrate people all across this room who came home to Jesus today. It's a day that you will remember.